Also, more about this story. Iraq's governing council signed an interim constitution today designed to steer Iraq towards free elections. Shiite dissension forced a delay in the charter's signing ceremony Friday. Over the weekend, Shiite Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani said he would not oppose the interim document, despite his reservations. Just hours after the constitution was signed earlier today, al-Sistani issued a fatwa on his website making clear his objections. The constitution will take effect at the end of June following the planned restoration of Iraqi sovereignty. What happens next is our topic for the next few minutes. Juan Cole is a professor of history at the University of Michigan and the author of Sacred Space and Holy War, The Politics, Culture, and History of Shiite Islam. And he joins us now on the phone from his home in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
How significant is this document and what exactly does it address?
Well, the document is what's called a basic law. It is an interim constitution of sorts that will govern how the Iraqi government functions during the transition to an elected parliament and then a new constitution. So it's a temporary document that sets out the basic rights of Iraqis and the functioning of the government.
And there are elements that look very good to Western eyes, a 13-part, fundamentally, a Bill of Rights.
Yes, there is a Bill of Rights, and there are other achievements in the document, a separation of powers and autonomy for, or semi-autonomy for the provinces, in the sense that the federal government can't come in and just remove provincial governors, as is true throughout the region.
And thereby hang some of the objections of Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. One of the provisions in the Constitution provides that it can't be changed if two-thirds of the voters in three provinces object. That is a very specific part of the plan put in there on behalf of the Kurds who live in northern Iraq and control three provinces, as it happens.
That's right. The Kurds are afraid of a tyranny of the Arab majority in Iraq and insisted on having more or less a veto over the new constitution that will be fashioned next year. And this language recognizes that veto. The Shiites around Grand Ayatollah Sistani worry that it's too much of a veto. You know, in the United States, three-fourths of the state legislatures can approve a constitutional amendment. But this law really insists that 16 out of the 18 provinces accept a constitutional amendment or a new constitution. So it's a 90% supermajority that is required. And Sistani and others felt that this makes the whole country more or less hostage to a small minority.
He also says, essentially, what you have is an undemocratically selected document that's going to tie, eventually, a democratically elected government's hands.
That's right. He objects to pretty much everything that's been done in Iraq since the end of the war as illegitimate insofar as it does not spring from the will of the Iraqi people. It doesn't derive from an electoral process. And so he feels that there will be an elected parliament next year. There will be a constitution that is fashioned under the direction of that elected parliament. And so it should really have much more legitimacy than this document, which was crafted by appointees of the Coalition Provisional Authority.
We're discussing the Provisional Iraqi Constitution with Juan Cole at the University of Michigan, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Yet all of these reservations, there are principles behind them, and they can be argued out. They were, in fact, argued out. Everybody agreed on this last week, and then all of a sudden somebody pulled the plug on five of the Shiite delegates who were planning to sign this in a grand ceremony on Friday, and that turned into a shambles. They repaired to visit with Ayatollah al-Sistani to get his blessing for this, apparently received it, unanimity achieved today, and then all of a sudden, new objections.
Well, the objections were there all along. The objections are not new. I think the real question was a matter of political strategy. The problem is if the interim governing council doesn't accept this document, doesn't make the compromises that are necessary to move forward, then it would delay the return of sovereignty to the Iraqis scheduled for June 30th from the Americans and the British. And I think Sistani and the members of the Interim Governing Council all agree that nothing should be done to extend the period of American and coalition rule of Iraq. So I think they're kind of swallowing the medicine despite their better instincts, just because they don't want to delay the return of sovereignty.
Well, once there is a government formed, that power will be handed over to in a couple of months' time, and exactly what that government is going to be, nobody knows quite yet, and that's what people are arguing about over the next few months. But what's the political environment now like in Iraq? Are people gathering around religious groups? Are they forming political parties that transcend ethnic and religious divisions?
The major parties that seem to have a lot of momentum and are developing grassroots tend to be somewhat narrow. The Kurds have two major parties and some smaller ones that are very focused on Kurdish concerns, and no one would vote for them in the rest of the country. The Shiites are mainly being organized by three or four Shiite factions. The Sunnis have Sunni Arab nationalist parties and also fundamentalist religious ones. The only party that I know of that seems to be nationwide and to have a structure throughout the country is the Communist Party, but it is very small and was very much damaged by persecution during the last 40 years.
So in terms of the politics that are emerging in Iraq, they're very much regional and religious.
Yes, very much so. And it is a concern that, a successful democracy is one in which the major parties have to try to draw strength from numerous constituencies and put together coalitions across ethnic and regional boundaries. And so far, politics in Iraq is not fitting that pattern. People are going narrow.
Let's get a caller involved. Paul joins us on the line from Hugo, Minnesota.
Yes, my question is, who enforces the Iraqi constitution in the case that the parties to that constitution decide not to abide by it once we have surrendered autonomy back to them?
Sovereignty, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Put that to Juan Cole.
Well, there will be a transitional government of some sort. It's not entirely clear how it would be formed. Probably it will be an expanded interim governing council. The council now has 25 members. People talk about expanding it to 100 to make it more inclusive. And that body would be responsible for implementing this basic law in the transitional period. Until a parliament is elected, it specifies that the parliament must be elected between December and January of 2004 to 2005, at which point the sovereignty will reside in parliament. So in actual fact, of course, much of the security of Iraq is likely to be provided by American troops for some time to come. The Americans will no longer be directly administering Iraq, the Americans and the British and the other coalition forces, after June 30th, but they will set up camp instead in their embassies in Baghdad. But because of the immense amounts of foreign aid that they are supplying, they feel they will still have a great deal of influence over the shape of the Iraqi polity.
And, Paul, I guess a critical question is the legitimacy that Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani continually talks about. He says this group doesn't have any, and it won't have any until there are elections. And I think, Juan Cole, you'd agree that that's a very dangerous period between now and then.
It is a dangerous period. I think, I've had it argued to me by some Iraqis that the fact that this transitional government is set up to preside over a process that will eventuate in an elected government retroactively bestows a little bit of legitimacy on it. I think the evidence so far is that Sistani wants to see an elected government as soon as possible, and he doesn't really want to do anything mm-hmm. that would make the government country ungovernable or prevent that from happening.
Legitimacy in the future, pluperfect. Juan Cole, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Juan Cole, Professor of Modern Middle East and South Asian History at the University of Michigan. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.